Airstrikes against the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front are increasing, and so is the humanitarian cost. After 11 months of conflict in Ethiopia's Tigray region, millions of people are displaced and nearly half a million are facing famine-like conditions. So how can aid agencies ease the crisis? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Hashim Ahalbarra. It's been described as the world's worst hunger crisis in a decade, and it's feared the situation in Ethiopia's northern region of Tigray will become even more bleak. The UN has suspended all humanitarian flights to the region's capital, Mekelle. That's after an Ethiopian government airstrike forced a UN aid flight to abort a landing in midair. Federal forces have carried out several raids on the city since Monday, targeting what they say is a base in Mekelle that's used as a training site by Tigray rebels. It's part of an offensive by Ethiopian government to push back the fighters. The Tigray People's Liberation Front, or the TPLF, has taken back large parts of the region from government forces in recent months. It's also seized territory in the neighboring Amhara region. The government and allied armed groups are trying to recover those areas. Both sides of the conflict are accused of committing atrocities. Ethiopian federal government forces and Tigray rebels have been fighting for almost a year. Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed sent troops to the region in November after accusing the TPLF fighters of attacking a military base. The TPLF has long dominated Ethiopian politics, but has been at odds with Prime Minister Abiy over reforms. The conflict has killed thousands of people and displaced more than 2 million. It's also affected Abiy's relations with the US, that's a major source of aid to Ethiopia. The government's relationship with the UN also remains tense. Last month, 7 humanitarian officials were expelled, accused of meddling with its affairs and sympathizing with the rebels. The UN has accused the Ethiopian government of imposing what it called a de facto humanitarian blockade on the region. The government says officials have inflated the scale of the crisis. Almost 500,000 people in Tigray are estimated to be facing famine-like conditions. The UN says just 1% of 5 million people in urgent need of aid received some form of food supplies in the first 2 weeks of October. The ongoing airstrikes in Tigray have halted deliveries of much-needed food and medicine to the area. Let's bring in our guests from Addis Ababa. Niamin Zeleki, member of the Global Ethiopian Advocates Nexus. Out of Nairobi is William Davison, senior Ethiopia analyst at the International Crisis Group. And Yan Abing, professor of politics and governance in Africa at Leiden University. Thank you for joining us. Niamin, so there's a humanitarian situation in the Tigray region. The situation is getting worse. And at the time when the UN agencies were trying to deliver much-needed help to the people there, the government steps up its military campaign. How do you see the developments on the ground?
Well, I think that line of question has loaded false narratives. Mm-hmm. The Ethiopian government has done its level best to make sure that the Tigrayan people get humanitarian aid. That's why it allowed many international NGOs, including the various UN agencies, to operate in Tigray freely. So the actual culprit for the restricted aid being delivered, humanitarian aid being delivered in Tigray, is the belligerence of the TPLF, which claims to represent the Tigrayan people. It has invaded lands in Amhara and Afar. Therefore, it has hampered the proper delivery of humanitarian aid to Tigrayan people. Mm-hmm. Now, Having said that, even as we speak, aid has reached the Tigrayan people because the Ethiopian government has allowed both flights, UN flights to Mekelle, and also hundreds of trucks. By the way, 428 trucks are missing because the TPLF is using these trucks to wage the war in Afar and Amhara regions.
You know, that's
so this narrative is...
To be able to establish facts on the ground, this is why sometimes you need to have third independent parties operating on the ground. William, the government was informed of the UN flight and the airstrike took place, forcing the plane to return to the capital, to Addis Ababa, leaving many to wonder that this could be an attempt by the government to further deter or prevent aid from being delivered to those places.
Well, I mean, that's the one interpretation of events. I mean, it's hard for me to know exactly what caused that lack of communication. But I mean, with regards to the overall situation here, the phase of the war we are in is that in June, the Tigray forces' resistance essentially forced a withdrawal by the Federal Army from Tigray. Now, 2 weeks later, the Tigray forces went on the offensive. And that was partly because of what they saw as a renewed blockade on Tigray. There was a blockade at the beginning of the war. That means no trade, no aid, and vital services, telecommunications, banking, electricity, were cut off by the federal government. So the Tigray forces went on the offensive to overcome that blockade. They were also trying to weaken the federal military and allies so they no longer presented a threat to Tigray. And they were also trying to reclaim territory lost to Amhara region at the beginning of the war. That is the phase of the war we are in. And there is no doubt that the federal government is placing severe constraints on aid to Tigray, partly to try and maintain this effort to pacify and force the submission of Tigray. The federal government is also worried about aid diversion to the rebels. They are worried about fuel trucks going in, which are vital for the humanitarian operations, which could also be used for the armed rebellion. Now, that is the reason why there is such a critical humanitarian situation inside Tigray. But of course, people are also suffering outside of Tigray, in the areas in Amhara and Afar region where the Tigray forces have gone on the offensive to try and achieve those stated objectives.
So, Jan, this is a critical situation from a humanitarian perspective, both in the Tigray region and also neighbouring Amhara, where the TPLF has managed to expand its military presence over there. And this was a moment where the UN was delivering was sending two flights a week to deliver aid to the region. Is the government trying to further step up its military campaign to take over the Tigray region, or is it trying to send a political message to the TPLF?
Both, but the main thing is that they want to get the Tigray forces out of the Amhara and Afar regions, which, as William says, have been invaded after the unilateral ceasefire of 28 June. The TPLF had no real business to go to these areas except for expanding the war indefinitely and see what it will bring them. It has not brought them anything except more misery for both the Amhara and Afar population as well as their own population. Because in this war situation, of course, all kinds of aid transports, convoys to any region in the fighting line is checked in terms of security and smuggling and so forth, which has hit, of course, the Tigray region in dire need of food aid, but also the Amhara regions. So we have come to the point that we don't know what the end game of the TPLF is. What do they want? I think I agree with both previous speakers that the TPLF is here the agent which has totally unnecessarily aggravated and dramatized this conflict in a manner which serves no political, military, or humanitarian purpose.
Yeah, but then let me go to Niamin. The Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed has said repeatedly that this was going to be a short trip to take over the territory and defeat the TPLF. That didn't happen. The Tigrayans are saying that the government is not genuine about a political settlement. So we are at a point where everybody is saying that why aren't all the parties coming together to negotiate a political settlement?
Because the TPLF is using all kinds of tricks and tactics, and it's hoodwinking the international community about its intentions. Now, the political agenda of the TPLF is to overthrow the legitimate and elected government of Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed. They want to reimpose return to power and minority ethnic hegemony, which they enjoyed undue privilege and undue power for 27 years. They would not stop. Their spokespeople, their leaders, have repeatedly said in the open public domain that they would come and take over Addis Ababa, the capital city. They would, if not, they would dismantle Ethiopia. This is 46 years of project of the TPLF and the Tigrayan elite associated with the TPLF. If they cannot rule Ethiopia, they have to dismantle Ethiopia. So all other talk about peaceful negotiation is just hoodwinking the international community and trying to get allies among the international community.
But
their intention is clear.
I see your point.
Clear and clear.
So, William, the international community has, over the last few months, stepped up its criticism of the Abiy Ahmed government, saying that it's about time to listen to the concerns of the Ethiopian people, particularly the Tigrayans, that it's about time to start a reconciliation. But on one hand, you have the government's very sceptical of the TPLF. On the other hand, you have the Tigrayans saying that the government is using unity to just dismantle and bring about a more centralized form of governance under Abiy Ahmed.
Well, I mean, undoubtedly, there's, you know, important political disputes, including the structure of the state that underlie this civil war. But, you know, a civil war is what it is. This has been a power struggle between the federal government and the Tigray regional government. Now, right from the outset of the war, myself, International Crisis Group, and many others were concerned about the level of resistance, including armed resistance, there would be by Tigray region, its leadership, its people, to this effort to impose upon them in what was already a political struggle over autonomy. Well, we're 11 months into the war, and what are the current dynamics of it? The Tigray forces have pushed out the Eritrean and Ethiopian armies from most of Tigray. And in response to the fact that they still see some of their territory occupied by Amhara region, the federal government is still not providing critical services to Tigray, and there is still a blockade. They have gone on the offensive. That occurred in July. We are now in late October. The Tigray forces are moving steadily through eastern Amhara and increasing the pressure on the federal government. So we are seeing a civil war which is continuing because there was no easy, quick victory for the federal government as promoted by the likes of Niamin and Yan. This is why there is the call for negotiations. I don't think anybody is under the illusions that the Tigray forces, the Tigray leadership, is not looking to assert its control and to install a government in Addis Ababa which will cooperate with Tigray, restore those services, focus on humanitarian relief, respect Tigray's autonomy. That's obviously true. Whether Niamin is correct that the TPLF is looking to establish its hegemony or dismember Ethiopia is another matter entirely. But it is quite obvious to observers of this war that it is so serious, so destructive, the trajectory is so negative, that it is absolutely imperative that all sides embrace negotiations and focus on humanitarian relief and try and settle their political troubles at the negotiating table, not through military force.
Ian, the international community has been critical of the government of Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed, particularly about reports of atrocities committed in the Tigray region. Don't you see Abiy Ahmed now left with very few options because the presence of Eritrean forces operating in Tigray have left some mixed messages for the people?
Not at all. The question assumes the wrong focus. the focus should not be on the past atrocities which may or may not have occurred in the first few months of the war, either by Eritrean forces or by Ethiopian forces, mm-hmm. which were, by the way, being persecuted and indicted by the Ethiopian Attorney General. Many dozens of cases against soldiers were already underway. Mm-hmm. The focus should be on the 100 times more massive civilian slaughters and human rights abuses which have been perpetrated by the TPLF in the Amhara and Afar regions. If you look at the evidence, it is, you know, even for us seasoned Ethiopian watch, it is totally shocking. There the focus should be. Abiy Ahmed, if he gives in to this process of so-called negotiation with a force which has shown not to be serious about any negotiation, about any talk, he will quickly lose support in the country and the people will turn against him. He has the option will be to militarily degrade the TPLF as they deserve because they have been expanding the conflict in totally irresponsible and reckless manner, and to gradually have the leadership, the political leadership, what is left of it, very low quality leadership, by the way, as well as the military leadership of the TPLF, have them arrested and put to trial in federal courts. There's no other way. I mean, you cannot look the statements given out by TPLF spokespersons about negotiations, political solution. It's all wind. It's nothing. It means nothing to them. If it's only a strategy to win time. I'm very sorry. I've studied this for extremely long time and in great detail. There can be no hope put on the current leadership of the TPLF. And we don't know really how much support they have from the Tigrayan population. A lot, of course, but not mm-hmm. all. And also outside Tigray, there are many who don't support them. But you cannot work with them. It's impossible. Unless there is an alternative civil or political force which claims to represent and can represent the Tigrayans in a better and more constructive way, there will be no progress with the TPLF people. I'm sorry, that's how it is.
Well, Niamin, the Americans, the Europeans, the UN, the African Union have been saying the same message again and again. That it's about time for Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed to understand that he cannot conduct the issue of Tigray region the way he is doing. That it's about time to talk politically to the TPLF to solve the problem. That is not happening anytime soon.
Thank you. First, I would like to thank Professor Abney Kirjan. At the same time, Mr. Davidson was talking, really repeating the false narratives of the TPLF. And with all due respect, he and his team are no longer credible. Since the start of this conflict, they have peddled false narratives. For example, he talks about blockade. After the withdrawal of federal forces from Tigray, there was no blockade. The Ethiopian government was spending billions of birr in Tigray to build the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Now, any government worth its salt would protect the security and safety of the countries, its sovereignty, and also the security of its people. Mm-hmm. After the unilateral ceasefire, what has happened, which Davidson glosses over, the TPLF forces invaded wide swath of territory in both Afar and Amhara, committed atrocities, massacres in Kobo 600, in Chena over 200. Just a few days ago in Wuchale, over 30 civilians were killed. Thousands have been massacred, over a million displaced, thousands of women raped. These people wantonly and willfully destroy even public properties like hospitals and schools. Mm-hmm. Their forces have killed animals, not only human beings, massacred animals. This has not been highlighted by international mainstream media. These are the facts. Now, how could any government engage in reconciliation or negotiation when 4 million of its citizens are under chokehold of the TPLF brutal quasi-Nazi leadership, which is delusional about itself, about its exceptionalism, unless it controls Ethiopia, dominates Ethiopia, it wants to dismantle Ethiopia. These are statements in the public domain on media told by Getacho Redda, Tsagaan Gebretensai, okay, and the chairman of the TPLF, which Davidson never mentions, never cares to investigate or highlight or even speak about. He talks about always the Ethiopian government.
Okay.
Never hold the TPLF
William,
accountable and
I see your point.
Even to starting the war to come back to power.
William,
in November.
So the government, the government blames.
To answer the question,
the government. I gave you enough time.
To answer your question, we cannot negotiate when 4 million people are under the yoke of TPLF's tyranny in Afar and Amhara.
Okay.
And the government, if it does, the Ethiopian people will rebel.
William, the government has been blaming the TPLF for trying to dismantle the unity of the government. The TPLF and the Tigrayans at the same time are saying that the big problem is Abiy trying to dismantle the very notion of a unified Ethiopia by trying to further just consolidate power under his control.
Yeah, I mean, sure, as addressed, you know, there is absolutely core political, ideological disputes. It's a power struggle, but it's a power struggle where there is this ideological contest over the nature of the Ethiopian state, battle for, you know, supremacy or power, the right balance of power between the region and the federal government. No doubt about it. But I think it's important, you know, to speak to Nirmin's concerns. You know, if we listen to the list of atrocities that Nirmin made, of course, you know, we could have just said that these were Eritrean troops, Ethiopian troops, and Amhara forces committing those very atrocities against Tigrayan civilians in the first phase of this war. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when a full accounting is done of the violence here, we will find that actually, you know, considerable more harm was exacted against civilians in Tigray than has occurred outside. But that is, of course, not to say that the Tigray leadership is not culpable for mistakes and for overseeing forces that have committed atrocities. Indeed, they basically admitted as such. You know, the war is now concentrated in Amhara and Afar regions. All of the, you know, this Western media, who are apparently, you know, in a conspiracy with the TPLF, they have been consistently reporting on the very atrocities that Nirmin mentions in Chena, in Kobo. So there's all sorts of allegations of looting, shelling of residential areas and executions. The point I'm trying to get at here mm-hmm. is that if you take the uncompromising approaches of Yan, who wants to tell the Tigrayan people, you know, what their leadership is, or Nirmin, who just refuses to acknowledge any possibility of any sort of political process here, that is what is resulting in the civil war that's been ongoing since mm-hmm. November. We are 11 months into the civil war. The Tigray forces are no longer contained to some rural mountainous hideouts in Tigray. They are on the march through eastern Amhara. They are pressuring Kombolcha and Desi cities as we speak. They are going to maintain that pressure on the Amhara government, on the federal government, and try and force the federal government into negotiations. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think anyone wants to see what will happen if the Tigray forces get to Addis Ababa
okay.
and try and take power there. Instead,
right.
what everyone wants to see is an acknowledgement of the severity of the situation and a recourse to negotiations, despite the political disagreements, the bitter
All right.
political disagreements that underlie this war.
Ian, we're talking about a critical moment for all the parties, particularly for Prime Minister, because he has this standoff with Sudan and Egypt over the dam that Ethiopia is building on the Blue Nile. You have the unrest in Oromia. You have neither conflict in the Tigray. Could this be an opportunity for all the parties to reconsider a new political order for the future of Ethiopia?
Yeah, in principle, yes, but it won't happen because we have a federal order, and I have not heard Abiy Ahmed say that he wants to dismantle this federal order. If we talk about the Tigray conflict as the cause, which we are now all reflecting upon, Tigray, before the war started, was the most independent regional state in all of Ethiopia. They had everything they wanted in terms of autonomy, budget, and so forth. Disagreements about the elections and about other things led to the conflict. But Abiy Ahmed is not going to go change the federal order as some people may wish, and also from very nationalist people. They will, when the new parliament opens, they will maybe reconsider certain aspects of the constitution and so forth. But the federal order will remain intact. Mm. By the way, I find discussions sometimes a bit disturbing, and I don't accept to be accused by having an uncompromising attitude and fueling the civil
war.
I find that totally unacceptable.
This is the
remark of the previous speaker.
Is not
acceptable.
Well,
I remind you that
I wish we had time to continue this conversation about the conflict in the Tigray region, but unfortunately we're running out of time. But in the meantime, Jan Abing, William Davison and Niamh Zedeke, I really appreciate your time and your insight, and looking forward to talking to you in the near future about the story which continues to unfold in Ethiopia. And thank you too for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Hashim Ahlbara, and the entire team here in Doha. Bye for now.